tells us about Jesus going into Capernaum. And as he was going in, some of the Pharisees came to him and they said, "Hey, we have the centurion. His servant is ill. And he just wants you to come down and lay your hands on him. Because he knows that if you come down and lay your hands on him, his servant's going to be healed." He was sure that if Jesus came down to his house, his servant would be healed. And as Jesus was going down, the centurion sent someone to him and said, "Hey, I'm not even worthy for you to come to my house, but speak the word only." He was sure if he would just speak the word only, his servant would be healed. And Jesus said he hadn't saw so great a faith. Mark 10 tells us about when Jesus was going into Jericho. And blind Bartimaeus heard he was coming down the road. And he began to cry out. Because Bartimaeus was sure that if he got Jesus' attention, something was going to happen. So he began to cry out, "Thou son of David, have mercy." And you know how it is. Folks will be going, "Shh, don't trouble the master. Shh, stay in your place. Shh, get to the back." But he was sure that if he could just get Jesus' attention, something was going to happen. And if we just stop for a minute and think about it, can we be sure that when we get Jesus' attention, something is going to happen? I can't speak for anybody else, but I need something to happen in my life. And I'm not just talking about a natural something. I'm talking about a Jesus something. I don't need something from man. I need something from the Lord. Because one thing I have found out in my life is when I get it from God, it works. When I try and fix it myself, a lot of stuff happens. But I'm sure that if I can just get his attention, something will happen. And so it goes on that he got Jesus' attention. And what happened? He received his sight. He was sure that something would happen. Matthew 9 tells us about Jesus was going down and he was going to raise Jairus' daughter from the dead. And this is really good because the daughter was dead. No life. But Jairus was sure that if Jesus came down, his daughter would live again. Now you got to stop and think. The man's daughter was dead. But he was sure that Jesus could do something about it. Do you have a situation in your life that is dead? Do you have a situation in your life that has turned your world upside down? You can have an assurance this morning that Jesus can do something about it. But as he was going, because you know how Jesus is, he's just going along, healing the sick, raising the dead, casting out devils, the maimed, the lame, the halt. And lo and behold, this woman walks up behind him because she was sure if she would just but touch the hem of his garment, she would be made whole. She did. She was. And Jesus turned around and said, "Who touched me?" Because he felt that virtue leave him. She had spent her life, savings, her life, going to doctors and not getting any help. But she was sure if she could just but touch. She didn't even have to talk to him. She didn't have to feel his hand upon her head. Because, you know, sometimes we always be looking for somebody to lay their hand on our head. Oil us down, grease us up really good. Speak a word. You know, you chasing the apostle this way and the prophet that way and the prophetess this way. And all we need is some time alone with Jesus. I want to start reading in, boy, I put that in wrong, in John 6. I don't think this will ever get old to me. Turn your Bibles to John 6. Now we're swiping, clicking, looking up at the screen. John 6, starting in verse 66, says, "From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God." Now, I laid that backdrop about people coming to Jesus because they were sure that if they came to him, something would happen. And here we have a setting where Jesus had already just fed the 5,000. And he had a multitude of people following him. But he didn't want them just to follow him because they had seen the miracles or they had ate of the food. But he wanted them to follow him not for natural reasons, but for spiritual reasons. And so he told them basically they needed to eat his flesh and drink his blood. And that was a hard saying. And they just couldn't fathom what he was talking about. They were still looking for more of the natural. They were still looking for more miracles. But he's saying, just hold on a minute. You know, and as I mentioned earlier, how we're running here, running there, we're always looking for a miracle. We're always looking for something to happen. Hey, did you hear over there that gold teeth was being put in people's mouth? Whoo, let me run. Did you hear over there they were finding gold dust in the pews? Woo! Let me run. Because in man is looking for something natural. But we don't necessarily all the time need something natural. We need spiritual. We need Jesus. We need more of Jesus. We need to be able to say, yes, Lord, I do want to eat your flesh. I do want to drink your blood. I do want you to come in and inhabit this temple. I want you to take control. I surrender myself to you. We got to get aside from the natural stuff. But when you look at it and you think about it, in this day and age, how people will turn away. They'll walk away. I don't want the word. I don't want that manna from heaven. So they had turned around and they had walked away. And you know, as I was watching this, as I was reading this, I was thinking about how, you know, as a preacher, we want all of these chairs full. I mean, we want it to be in overflow. We want so many people packing it in here because that's just the way that preachers think. However, Jesus preached a message, and it didn't pack them in. They left. And it wasn't like one or two people left. They left in droves. They left in thousands. They departed from him. They wanted no more part with him. Because what they were looking for was more loaves and fish. But you know, the bottom line is, we are sinners. And we need the Savior. And that's basically what he was telling them. Is that you don't need all of this natural stuff. What you need is me. Yes, we need a house. We need a car. We need food. We need clothes. But all of that is temporal. All of that is going to pass away. What we really need is something that is going to sustain us throughout eternity. And it's not just something that's going to sustain us. It's someone who's going to sustain us. And that someone is Jesus Christ. That should be our number one priority. That should be what we're striving for. As I said, yes, we need all of those natural things. You want a good job. You want to pull down big cash. But we can't allow those things to be our priority. Jesus has to be our priority. And so it says, from that time, many of the disciples went back and walked no more with them. As a kid, did you ever think about running away from home because you were not happy with your parents? You know, well, mom won't let me and daddy won't let me, so I'm going to pack my bags and I'm going to go. Where were you going? Ain't got no job. Ain't got no money. Ain't got no place to go. You really ain't got no suitcase. You put your stuff in a paper bag. But that's the same mentality that these people had when they left. Where were they going back to? They were going back to the same Pharisees, the same scribes, the same nonsense that they had come out of when they recognized that Jesus was the way. But we do this today. We will leave God's word and go back to something else. They were willing to follow Jesus for a little while. But then they were turning away. When we leave Jesus, we leave the answer to every problem that not only we have ever had, but that we will ever have. He is the answer to all of our problems. So when we leave him, we have no place to turn. You know, we can go back to the world. The world loves their own. And yes, they will take you back in. Or we can be in a position when the demons left the man and, you know, swept out the house. And then the man decided to go back and the demon said, well, you know, I'll return back to him. We go back to the same ways. We go back to the same stuff. We go back to the same junk. You know, if you were drinking before you got saved, you ain't going back to dope. You're going back to what you know, drinking. If you were chasing whatever you were chasing up and down the roads, you're not going to go back and be celibate. You're going to go back and start chasing again. You go back to what you left. I can't speak for anybody else, but I can tell you, I don't want to, and I am not going back to what I left. Because I have found that being over here serving Jesus, Jesus is better. You know, I thought that I had a good life. I thought that just because I was pulling down long money, I was wearing, I spent my time in the mall during the day. Because I wore a different outfit to the club every night. Maybe that's why I like to dress now, okay? Yeah. But you go back to what you know. I don't want to go back to the club. I don't want to go back to running up and down the streets. I don't want to go back to smoking. I don't want to go back to drinking. I want to spend my time with Jesus. But if I turn back, I'm going back to what I know. Pastor says this all the time. And we got this from one of the old saints. And she used to always say, an old sin is an easy sin. When you go back, when you turn from Jesus, you go back to what you know. But Jesus is the only one who can take care of our problems. He's the only one who can take care of our fears. Some of you know, I had a car accident a couple of weeks ago. And the car came head on into me. Thank God it could have been a lot worse than what it actually was. And I wasn't too far away from the house, going up around the curb. And I'm telling you this because I just mentioned the fears and didn't know I was going to tell this, but I'm sharing it now. But every time I have to leave my house and go up that way, I have a fear that grips my heart. And as I go around that corner, I can see that car coming directly towards me. I pray every time I have to go that direction. Because I know that the only way that I'm going to get this fear out of my heart is Jesus is going to have to take that fear out of my heart. Because he has told me he did not give me the spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. And I know that if I look to him, then he's the one that's going to take that fear out of my heart. Who knows, when I go home today, today may be the day. I just believe God. Today's going to be the day. But if you Google the word phobia, there is a list of at least 530 phobias that people have a fear of. And the only way that people are going to be delivered from those fears, and they're from A to Z, is being able to turn it over to Jesus, to allow him to address the fear that is in their life. And then when we think about death, you know, both death of our loved ones, or when we are facing death ourselves, we have to be sure when we are facing death for ourselves. We have to be sure that we know where and with whom we are going to spend eternity with. Now, if you don't have that assurance, if you don't have that assurity to know that, then yes, you're going to worry about it a little bit. And I had wanted to give the definition of sure, which is, Webster says, admitting of no doubt, indisputable or reliable or trustworthy. And so we need to, without a doubt, know where and with whom we're spending eternity with. And not just for us personally, but then when we're dealing with the death of a loved one. You know, that loneliness, that sorrow grips our hearts because our loved one is getting ready to depart from here. But we can be sure if our loved one knows Jesus, if our loved one has placed their faith in his shed blood and the sacrifice that he paid on Calvary's cross, we can be sure if we continue living that same way, that we will see them again. We can be sure that as they left this body on this side, to be absent from here is to be present with the Lord. We can be sure to know where they are. And by having that assurity, it's not going to take away all the sorrow, but it will lessen the sorrow. But we can only have that through Jesus. And knowing that Jesus is the answer, he is the solution to everything that we have to go through in life. And so the scripture says, and many of them went back. They didn't like what Jesus said. So they turned and they went back. Verse 67 says, then said Jesus unto the 12. So now we have just the base 12 here. Will you go also? And his question wasn't because he needed to know. His question was so that they could see what their response was going to be. They could see what was in their heart. You know, it's something to go from 5,000 to 12. But he says, will ye also go away? Now, I think one of the things that these two verses just kind of, for me, does a slam dunk with always saved, eternal security. Once you believe, that's it. You know, you don't have to go any further. You accept Jesus, and from here on out, it's smooth sailing. You're going to heaven regardless of how you live, what you believe. Once saved, always saved. No, that is not the case, because they did go back. And then Jesus did ask the question to his disciples, will you also go? If it was not possible to go away, if it was not possible to fall away, Jesus would not have asked this question. So we can put a stop to the once saved, always saved, because that does not exist. So Jesus said to the 12, will you also go away? And I'm laughing. I love Peter. Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. As I said, I love Peter. Peter was always so quick to respond. Right or wrong, didn't matter. He was quick to respond. And even in his quickness, even in the times that Jesus would rebuke him because he responded in a not so good way, so to speak, he was still always quick to respond. That didn't stop him at all. He didn't bite his tongue for anything. And here, he's not just responding for himself, but he said, to whom shall we go? So he's made it a collective of all 12. He's speaking for all of them. Whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. So as I said, Peter is speaking for the whole 12. We know that you have the words of eternal life. We have been walking with you all this time. We've seen what you can do. We've watched you heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils. We've partaken of the word as you taught us. We know that you are the Messiah. There is no question. We know that we are not going back to what we came out of. And we believe and are sure we're going to stand fast right here on the fact that you are eternal life. The only way that we can get to eternal life is through you. The only way that we can navigate through this lifetime is through you. So here we have Peter speaking on behalf of all 12. And I'm like, count me in on that. I believe, I am sure, there is no other way. You know, there is no other doctrine. There is no other religion. There is no other person. You know, I was thinking about, if you look at John Smith, Confucius, Buddha, you know, we're coming up on Easter. And Easter is all about the resurrection. And these men, these entities that I mentioned, when they died, they stayed dead. When my Savior died, he didn't stay dead. He rose again. And right now, he's sitting on the right hand of the Father. There is a difference in what you believe. You know, this isn't about a Baptist thing or a Methodist thing or Episcopalian thing or Episcopal thing. This is all about Jesus. This is where we have to take a stand. Because, you know, you look at what's going on in not just our nation, but the world as a whole. And folks are always talking about unity. Come together. Let's have a prayer day. Let's hold hands. Be around the campfire and we can sing Kumbaya, okay? But no. If you cannot accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you cannot accept the fact that only he is the one, the true Savior, the Lamb of God who took away the sin of the earth, if you cannot accept that, we have no business holding hands. We cannot worship together because I don't know who you worshiping. We can't pray together because I don't know who you praying to. Saints, we have to take a stand. We have to be sure in who we believe. We have to know that our surety is only in Jesus Christ. So when Peter said, "Whom shall we go?" You have the words to you have the words of eternal life. If you ever think about turning back, where would you go? Where would you go? Is there any place better than being right here with Jesus? Is there any place better than being in his presence? Is there any place better than knowing that we have a hope in him, that we can spend eternity with him? We have to have that assurity. We have to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that everything that we have lies within Jesus. So this morning, I want to encourage you to stand on believing and are sure. We've got to believe. We've got to be sure. We've got to have that assurity of knowing who Jesus is and what Jesus has done. And when we get to that place where we can walk, I'm not saying that I walk in that assurity 100% of the time, because I just shared y'all some fear that I hadn't shared with anybody else. You don't have to go out here and tell everybody, "Ooh, did you hear Sister Lincoln's afraid to drive down the street?" But we have an assurity, and that assurity lies in Jesus Christ. And I just want to encourage us as we depart this place today, that we take a moment and stop and recognize who it is that we serve. With whom do we believe? Whom do we cast all our cares on? Whom do we go talk to when we go boldly to the throne of grace? Who it is, who do we have the assurity in? His name is Jesus. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Most holy and righteous Father, Lord, we just thank you this morning. Father, we thank you again for allowing us to be here. I just ask, Lord, that you continue to keep your hand upon us. Continue, Lord, to allow your angels to be encamped about us. And Father, I just ask that you increase our faith, increase our surety in you. Help us, Lord, to depend on you more and more each and every day. Help our self-dependence to die every day so that we can stand forth and say that we believe and are sure that you are the one, the true, the only living God, the Paschal Lamb that laid down his life. And God, we just thank you and we praise you.
Hallelujah. Father, we thank you and we praise you for your word today. We thank you, Father, that you have died and rose again. You've shed your blood for us so that we may be redeemed back unto you. Father, continue to increase our surety in you. Help our faith continue to grow so that our focus is continuously on you. In Jesus' name, amen. When Sister Lincoln was ministering, sitting back there waiting to come out, fire just shot through my bones because, you know, when we look at the scripture and we read and study, Jesus didn't shake hands or compromise with Satan, not one bit. He knew his purpose and his mission on this earth. And he died for us so that we would know and be sure that he has eternal life waiting for us as we stay in him. Amen. So it's not pride, it's not arrogance when we make that stand, that bold stand for him. People say, oh, you prideful, you arrogant. No, not at all. I know who I serve. I know who's my savior, my king. In Jesus' name. If you haven't given already, we need your support, and we do thank you for your support. Thank you for joining us by those webcasts. And again, we thank the overwhelming response that we have for the Pakistan van as well. Amen. Give us a hand again for that. We came together. Two more things. Food baskets. They are available for members and friends. Please see Sister Amelia Jasper if you know anybody that needs a food basket. And join us for our prayer set. Our upcoming prayer set is April the 12th from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. Amen. So please add that to your calendar. Rise and let's get dismissed. Father, again, we thank you so much for your word. Father, as we depart from this place, we never depart from you. And Lord, we hope and pray that we will see each other again soon for Wednesday night Bible study and for any other upcoming events that we may have. Be with us as we travel to wherever we're going. And we ask that you bless this week for us in the name of Jesus. Amen. You are dismissed.